You're listening to Princeton Lacks Cash, the official podcast of the six-time NCAA national champion Princeton men's lacrosse program. Now here's your host, Jerry Price.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Princeton Lacks Cast, a special edition 2 weeks ago. I'm Jerry Price, by the way. 2 weeks ago, I was joined by the two captains, Bear Goldstein and Gavin McBride, the only time that we've done this so far this year that head coach Matt Matalon wasn't with us. And today, I am joined by the three academic athletic fellows for the team, Pat Moran, John McPhee, and John Barber. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
So it's a lot of people here today, but I think their voices are distinguishable enough. But just really quickly, let's start out, and we'll start out with you, John Barber. Just talk a little bit about your background, what you do at the university, and how you came to be part of the lacrosse program.
I'm a patrol sergeant with the Department of Public Safety, and I've been with the university going on 22 years now. And I got affiliated with the team just by being out on patrol, watching the games, and getting to know the guys, you know, as I patrolled campus and started asking to come to practice and hang out and started just hanging out and just rolled into being affiliated with the team. Became a fellow about 4 years ago.
John?
Hello. Bill Tierney put me into the faculty fellow thing about a dozen years ago, and I had no idea what it was about, and I still don't exactly, but I'll say it's a lot of fun. I'm a teacher who I've been teaching a writing course for 40 some years here.
When I came here about 5 years ago, Coach Bates contacted me because he knew my father pretty well, who coaches at Chaminade High School, has been the head coach there for about 35 years. And then my brother Ryan, who's a coach, now he's the head coach at UMBC, but at the time he was the head coach of, assistant coach at Maryland. And, just reached out to me and he said, we have this program, would you like to do it? And I said, yeah, of course. And I teach writing here at the university to freshmen.
Also, I mean, Pat, you come from quite a lacrosse family. Your brother currently a Division I head coach, as you mentioned. Your father is one of the more respected high school coaches in the country, but also your uncle. You throw him out there, even if it's the Princeton Lacks Cast. I guess we should bring him up.
Yeah, my great uncle was Richie Moran, who taught at or coached at Cornell for quite a while. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I know the answer to this. The answer clearly for all three of you is going to be the opportunity to work with the guys. But just talk a little bit about what you really like about the program and what motivates you as you go through this, each of the years and as you get to know all these different years and classes of players that come along. And, we'll start with you, John Barber.
It's definitely what you said, being able to interact with the guys on the team and the coaching staff. But since becoming a fellow, it's the absolutely amazing experience that I've gotten to have, like, doing this podcast. Has never done anything like this before. Absolutely amazing. The trip to Portugal.
We're natural at it.
The trip to Portugal, San Francisco, just the different experiences I've gotten to have since becoming a fellow is what I'm enjoying.
John?
Yeah, what I came to realize is that it matters to the students, and therefore it matters to me and to us, you know. And you're just getting to know them, and in a context so different from the classroom. It's a wonderful contrast to have these two things in apposition.
I guess maybe getting to hang out with Bryce Chase would be one. But in addition to that, I love working with the guys. I was counting today, over 20 guys in my class at one time or another. And I've also worked with a lot of the other guys on their theses and their JPs and just one-on-one if they want to bounce some ideas off of me. So I get to see their personalities in the classroom and then also the way those personalities come out on the field. So that's been a real pleasure for me.
John Barber, what is your actual athletic background?
I played football, basketball, through high school.
Right, so never played lacrosse?
Never played lacrosse. Actually never really seen lacrosse until I started working here. And actually still, after 20 years of watching it, still a little confused and not sure what goes on, especially with the interchange and other players and stuff. But I wish it was a little bit more prevalent when I was in high school. I definitely would have
I've always said that. My high school did not have lacrosse on it.
Yeah, mine didn't either.
I would have loved to have played. But you know, talk a little bit about like, you know, when you watch a game now versus when you first started, you know, what you're seeing, the different things that you're seeing now, what your, you know, your understanding of it and how it's
grown. I'm still not picking up the intricacies of the game, but I have definitely a general idea of what's supposed to happen. So when a guy's cutting towards the net and he gets a pass and shoots it, I know that was a good play. I know that's supposed to happen. Of course, us put it in a net good, the other team put in a bad net bad.
If it worked.
Right, yeah. But I'm definitely picking up a lot more of what's supposed to happen, where guys are supposed to be, the slides and the different things. So it definitely picked up a lot.
So John McPhee, you go way back to when you were a player in high school in Deerfield. You know, you grew up in Princeton. Your dad was the, you know, we could talk to you for 3 hours about your experiences as a kid at Princeton Athletics, but let's go back to two things. One is your earliest memory of Princeton lacrosse, if it existed, and your experiences as a player when you were in high school.
Mm-hmm. Well, my earliest, I'm 6 years old or 5 years old or something, and Bill Logan is the coach, and I don't know, I thought it was an interesting looking game, but Princeton High School did not have lacrosse like yours, and so I was, oddly, a basketball player, and in the spring I played on a tennis team, and when I went to Deerfield and played basketball, the lacrosse coach there came up to me after a game, and a basketball game, and asked me to come play lacrosse. In those days, people sort of did that. Football players played lacrosse and things. The kids are much too skillful now for that. But he said, you know, I said, I don't play lacrosse. And he said, you've just been playing it. And it's true. Basketball and lacrosse are essentially the same game. So I played on this lacrosse team, and it was undefeated. We played college freshman teams, West Point and Yale and Harvard and so
Manhasset.
On. And Manhasset High School, we killed them. And I just loved the game. And that was it, though, you know. College.
The Manhasset game, though, the next year they picked up somebody who might have tilted things.
Yes, right. Jimmy Brown started his freshman year at Manhasset 2 or 3 months after this game we played it. That's really, I'll never forget that.
Where did Princeton play lacrosse when you were 6 years old? What field did they play on?
Several, but the field that I don't think exists anymore. I think there's a building on it and so on. Where they played, all these complex of athletic fields that are sort of where the Gary Library is. The tennis courts were there, and below that was a field where you'd see lacrosse.
And so, Pat, let's talk about your background, because, you know, you played in high school, and I can't remember, where did you go to college?
That's not important, Jerry. I did go to Cornell, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, no, I was playing lacrosse from from a very young age. My brothers and I played all the time, and I was always going to watch the games, my father's games, on the sidelines when I was... you know, 5 or 6 years old. So, you know, now I'm still on the sidelines, I guess. It's nice.
What, you know, what about your dad is coaching you when you were a kid and then coming up and playing there and playing on Long Island? And, you know, the big rivalry is Chaminade and St. Anthony's, and Princeton has had a million kids from both. And, you know, every game we play, there's somebody who played at Chaminade on the other team. And somebody,
yeah.
You know, what's that like for you?
I love playing for my dad. You know, he's long been my hero, and he's a wonderful teacher of the game, and I think that sort of influenced even me being a teacher now. As far as playing for Chaminade, there's always been a great sort of tradition there, and he's really developed that, and a number of guys have played here and or at St. Anthony's, and that's been the great rivalry on Long Island. And, you know, I actually coached with him for one season when I was finishing my dissertation. I coached Bobby Lucas, who then came and played here, and there were some other guys on that team who came to Princeton. So it was nice to kind of coach with him, having once played for him.
Now, your brother's in his first year as a head coach. He's at UMBC, and I've been paying attention. They're certainly improving.
Yep.
What is that like to, you know, What are your interactions with him like? And you know, do you guys talk lacrosse and talk about what goes on here? And you know, you sort of give him advice or?
Yeah, no, we actually have a lot of conversations about how he coaches and how I teach, and there's a lot of similarities between the two. And you know, I always give him a call after a game and say, "Hey, great win," or, you know, "You'll get him next time." And he's always texting with me about the Princeton. He knows a lot of the guys on the team because he's watched film on them. Or even recruited them at one point or another. And, yeah, I'm really proud of him. I think he's doing a great job at UMBC. And, yeah.
So this is the first full season for Matt Madelon as head coach. He took over as the interim head coach last year, so this is 52 weeks now have gone by since he's been the coach. But, you know, John Barber, talk a little bit about, you know, what you see from Matt Madelon and you know, what kind of guy he strikes you as, and you know.
I've actually spoken to Coach Maddie a couple times about the difference between. I was around when Coach Tierney was here, Coach Bates, and now him, and you can just see the different, I guess, vibe of the team. This feels a little more laid back, but definitely more intense and more accountable for you know how you play on the team, and it seems like the guys are reacting. It seems like everyone's doing very well. I kind of like how he's coaching his style, very very. I guess, like I said, laid back is the way I want to put it. But.
Yeah, I think when you think of the Faculty Fellows Program, it's you know, it's meant to be there for the. And I guess we should have talked about what the program is. The Faculty Fellows Program. It was founded by Gary Walters, who was the director of athletics before Molly Marcus-Simon, and he was a basketball player here in the 1960s. If you've met Gary, he possibly mentioned that to you at some point. And he had a very special relationship with Mark Bressler, who was a sociology professor, and it. You know, when I try to explain that the program is to people, I'm like, they're not advisors, they're not tutors. You know, it's just somebody there. Marv himself said, "You're there to be an adult for the kids," and you know, it's somebody that you know the kids can come to for any number of reasons, or you know, who can make their mark on the program in any number of ways. And the great thing is, if you look across all 37 of our teams, the faculty fellows are way different for each one, that what they bring, how they approach the program. And I think it's, you know, it's really been, you know, honestly, when I think back of all the great things that Gary accomplished in his 20 years here, this is one of the best things that he did. You don't usually think of the Faculty Fellows program in terms of the coach needing the Faculty Fellows around. But when you have a first-year head coach, you know, I think it's helped him and his staff. Of, you know, it's a young staff. It's a good staff, but it's a young staff. I think it's helped them to know that they have guys, you know, you guys, me, George O'Neill, you know, Gary Mosley, guys, you know, people have been around the program for a long time that they can lean on. And I think that, you know, that's been a pretty good thing for the coaching staff. But, you know, do you see that in Coach Madelon where he's, you know?
Yeah, he's actually asked me a couple of times, you know, how's it feel or, you know, what do you think? And, of course, I tell him, yes, and I'm not very versed in lacrosse, but from what I see and from what I've seen over the years, this is working out really well. I really enjoy watching his coaching style.
Let's talk about a game day. You know, what's it like for you guys? Like, what do you do? You know, I look down, I see on the sidelines. What do you do during the game? Are you just standing off to the side watching? Are kids engaging you, coming up to you? Do you have running conversations among yourselves, Brycey?
We have running conversations among ourselves. I wouldn't want to get into conversations with the players when they're caught up with the game. I don't think that'd be a good idea. But we're right there with them, and we talk among ourselves a great deal during games. And I'm hanging on every play. You know, I'm interested in the game, so I'm not, you know, fellowizing.
No, but just, you know, like. Yeah. You're not in the stands. You're not in the press box. I'm in the press box. You know, I see things in a completely different way from my vantage point. And I've always said to anybody, the best place to watch a game is from the sideline. And, you know, I wish I could watch every game on the sideline. And very, like, maybe once or twice a year, I don't have to do stats and I don't have to do radio. And I could stand on the sideline and watch the game. And I love it. But, you know, you guys are there for every game. And, you know.
It's a good place to stand. We're way down at the end. So that you're really close to one of the goals, and so you're close to Princeton's defense or Princeton's offense, and I really like being there. I'd go there if I were just, you know, wandering around and had no function at all.
You know, what's the feeling on game day, though? You know, it's exciting. You know, I've always said that about what we do here is that, you know, if you just want to work in an office, you can work in an office. The best part about being here is you get to go to the games, and it's, you know, when you lose that, excitement about it, then you probably don't want to do this kind of job anymore. But it's the same thing for you guys, that, you know, you're there for the guys, but you're also there to, you know, be there when they're playing.
Yeah, on the sidelines, you know, we all kind of have a different, take up a different role. John Barber's always going to the huddle and bringing the guys water.
Hydration engineer,
right. and I'll kind of say something to a guy, you know, great shot or...
Right, like I didn't mean you guys have, like, you know, you're standing in the middle of the bench telling them, like, you know, hey, next time you should try, you ever think about trying this? I don't care what the coach said, but... no, I meant, like, but during the game, like, the, is there any kind of interaction with the players? Like, you know, high five here and there and stuff like that?
Well, that, when something happens. I, at each timeout or things like that, I go over to, many times anyway, to Bryce Chase, and I hold up an imaginary microphone in front of him and get him to speak to the world. And it's extremely interesting what comes out.
And you can understand why we're a little hesitant to hold a real microphone up to him.
I see what you mean. But at the same time, he also says very pithy things about the game.
Yeah, and, you know, just kind of giving the guys a hug and, you know, or trying to boost their spirits a bit. I remember after the, sometime during the Hopkins game, Aaron Roberts kind of picked me up so high I almost fell over. but, yeah, just I think they really like that support, I hope.
Go ahead.
At the last game, Brown, Sam Gravitt's mother sang the Star Spangled Banner. I happen to have had Sam in my class, so I know him pretty well. And no athletic event have I ever hoped that the Star Spangled Banner wouldn't come to an end. She was wonderful.
She was great. Yeah, I mean, you know, Tony Award-winning actress. And you know, we've had people sing the national anthem here, and you're like, wow, that, she has a great voice, or he has a great voice. And then she went out there, and you're like, okay, this is taking it up a few levels, and you can understand why. You know, I like to ask, I asked Coach Maddle on this question last week. You know, the guys who get all the attention are Currier and McBride and Sowers and Sims and the usual suspects. But is there a guy this year that you've seen who doesn't get that attention that you think is really having a big time year, and, you know, maybe playing a position where they don't get that kind of recognition? Or, you know, I mean, I the stats are obvious. Sauer scores a lot of goals, has a lot of assists. McBride scores a lot of goals. But, like, give me a player that's really standing out to you.
All of them who don't play regularly. It takes 50 guys to make the team. They're out there every day in practice and so on and so forth. When other guys are competing and they are not, they're standing on the sideline, they are superb spectators, they care so much, and it takes this whole group. I greatly admire people on any team that don't get to play much, but who are there every practice effort, making
dedication.
It work.
Yeah.
And this is a wonderful bunch in that respect, right?
Yeah, I say the same thing. The guys that don't get as much playing time, but they're there for practice every day, they're busting their behinds and sweating, and, you know, they're making the guys who are playing work every day. So they're helping the team, and they're cheering on the sideline, they're supporting everybody, and it's actually amazing.
I had a guy in my class once named John Berger who played such a role on the basketball team, traveled with the team, did all that, but he didn't play. But he got in a game one time, and he took a shot, and it went in, and he finished the season with a 1,000% scoring.
John Berger once had a job interview, and he couldn't travel with the team when they went to Cornell. And so when I was driving up to the game, I think to do radio, and it was me, and I believe it was David Rosenfeld, who was our athletic communications contact at the time, we gave him a ride, and we stopped. This is a long time ago, because we stopped at a Wendy's, and it might be the last time I ever had fast food, but he did something I've never seen anybody do before. He ordered two separate meals. He got the number 2 meal and the number 7 meal, and he ate both of them on the way up.
There were two John Burgers. I wonder if that was the same one.
It was the basketball guy. It was your guy.
Basketball.
Yes.
They were both basketball guys, actually.
So let's look ahead a little bit where Princeton is now. It's been a really good start to the season. The Tigers are 6-3, 2-1 in the Ivy League. Coming up this Saturday, it's Princeton against Stony Brook. That's a 7 o'clock start, not a 1 o'clock start. It was originally listed as 1 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock start. Then next Tuesday at Lehigh, that's also a 7 o'clock start. And then it's the regular season will end with a trip to Dartmouth, a home game against Harvard, and then a trip to Cornell. So, you know, just talk a little bit, each of you, about, you know, what your thoughts are so far in the season, you know, from strictly a lacrosse perspective. Pat, you go. As the coach's brother.
Yeah, the guys are developing every game. They're getting better and better. And when they're clicking, it's amazing to watch. So I think, you know, one hopes to keep seeing that, and I think we will. The Stony Brook game will be a good challenge, I think. You know, they've been having a good season. And then to finish out the Ivy League strong, I think is going to be important to get into the tournament and, you know, to win the tournament. Really, that's the goal.
They haven't been clicking in every single game. A graph of their season is a sort of a jagged thing going along. And when those peaks come, they are really stupendous.
Yeah.
And I just hope the peaks come really close together in at the end.
Like I said before, I don't know the X's and O's of it, but from...
You probably know more than you think you do.
I don't know. But but just watching them, like the professors have said, the watching them click... And when you see them firing on all cylinders, it's so much fun to watch. I mean, I've missed a couple of the home games, but I've actually listened to them on the radio, and you can just tell, you know, when the scores are, I mean, they're scoring a ton of goals this season, which is great. But the Ivy games are going to be the real crucial games, and hope we're peaking when we get to those games.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all you guys. It's been an exciting first, 60% of the season, and really excited to see what the rest of the season goes. Anything else you guys want to add?
I just want to say thanks for allowing us to do this. This was absolutely
yes,
a blast.
Thank you. Yeah. And when they're up in Dartmouth and I can't go there, I look forward to listening to Jerry Price narrating the game.
Usually you're listening to Cody Cruchel, who has always been our engineer, and Cody doing a great job on the podcast, but really doing an exceptional job on the radio as well.
I got
a
face-to-face.
So again, the Princeton Laxcast this week, a special edition was with the Princeton Academic Athletic Fellows, John Barber, John McPhee, Pat Moran. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks,
Jerry.
So again, it's
Jerry.
Princeton and Stony Brook Saturday at 7:00, and then it's Princeton at Lehigh Tuesday at 7:00, and then at Dartmouth the following week. Only one home game remaining. That's the 22nd of April against Harvard. I know that we'll see a lot of the alums out there for that one. A lot of special events planned. And thank you to the faculty fellows, and thank you for everybody again for your support and for listening.